Hey, good morning, Encounter family. Don't clap yet, okay? Those of you who know me well, because in a moment, I'm going to ask all of us in this room to give the loudest clap of praise to Jesus that has been heard in this region this morning. Not because I'm a competitive pastor, mind you, but because Jesus is absolutely worth it, all right? On the count of three. One, two, three. Yeah! All right. Oh, man, I'll worship the living King with any of you any day. That was awesome. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be together today, and we're going to jump into the message in just a moment. But just a few quick reminders. Right after this is our elder town hall. We're going to be talking about what God's done this last fiscal year, where we're going this next fiscal year, and then the dollars and budget that support all of that that we're trusting Him for. And we'll be asking for a vote of affirmation on that 2 weeks from today. Love to have you join us. Lunch will be provided and childcare is available as well. And as I promised, if you come, I will teach you the new Encounter dance moves. Okay? All right? No, I am not doing that, but I am dancing in my heart for all the things we get to talk about. And another little just reminder for you, hint, hint, dads, I'm looking out for you out there. Next Sunday is Father's Day, all right? So gifts are welcome, children in the room, okay? Field family, hint, hint, I just have three words for you, fly fishing gear, okay? That's all I want you to know. And maybe an elk hair caddis or an Adams dry fly or something like that would be cool. But we're going to have a great day for dads next Sunday. Some good surprises for you. We're going to have a message for everyone that morning and some really yummy food. And it's so yummy, we've been trying to get Lindsay, our care and events director, to feed it to us before next Sunday, but she is holding out for all of you. So I just want you to know that. We have to wait just like you. But we're excited for what we're going to do. And since we're in celebrations, can we just give our seniors another hand over here, our youth ministry? So proud of all of you and just so thankful for how God is working through you. And as I shared, this dad, we're super excited. We've had three graduations in our house in the last month. So two from college, and our son Josh is graduating this week, and so we're super proud of him as well. Well, we are jumping into the message right now, and we're in this unshakable series through the New Testament book of Acts. And if this is your first time with us, we always put a little QR code on the screen before we get started, or as you walk in to get the digital notes for the day, and you can follow along. But today we're going to look at two incredible stories of life change, two events that happened in the lives of two different people and how they met Jesus Christ that both point to one message for us to take away. And the setting is, we're in Acts chapter 16, and the apostle Paul and Luke and Silas and Timothy are on a missionary journey, and they're wanting to bring the living hope of Jesus Christ that we are celebrating this morning to this city of Philippi that has never heard the name of Jesus before this moment. It's pretty cool. So we are going to read part of the passage. I'm going to ask you to stand, and then we are going to pray together and just ask the Lord to speak to us today. So why don't you stand with me? I will read part of the passage, and then we are going to pray together. Pretty fun. It's always good to see a church family. So thankful for you. This is Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father God, we come to you right now, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, asking you to move in our lives right now. Lord, you have written some incredible stories in your word for us to learn from today, and may we just add on to your greater story, Lord, as we respond to you and your voice. We ask you to move, O Holy Spirit, and by your name and by your power. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. So in Acts chapter 16, verse 13, in that opening verses, we are introduced to this woman by the name of Lydia. And she has a very powerful story in Christ. Verse 13 begins, and on the Sabbath day, we, and I'll pause there, Luke, who's being used by God to write all of this, he's one of the participants, therefore he says we, along with Paul, Silas, and Timothy. He says, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. And we learn a number of things about Lydia right from the very beginning. First of all, she's what we could call a cosmopolitan traveler. She's a world traveler traveling back and forth between Asia Minor and Mesopotamia. And at this moment in time, she's in Philippi, which is one of the largest cities in Mesopotamia. But she's from Thyatira, which is in Asia Minor. And if you follow all that, you get an A+, all right? But all that to say, she's a multicultural, multi-regional world traveler. If she were alive today, we could say she's a jet setter. And her business was clothing. And so she, you know, if she were living today, she might be part of Free People. She probably worked for them. That's a really high-end clothing line for women, which I knew nothing about. I had to ask what that might be. But anyways, secondly, she is a business person. She owned her own business, and she sold purple, which is what Thyatira was known for. And so that'd be like how, if you go to San Francisco and to go to Pier 39, you know, it's known for its clam chowder in a warm sourdough bread bowl. Makes me hungry, but it's not even going to come close to what we're serving hot on Father's Day morning. I'm just telling you right now, I've been trying to get some for the last 2 weeks, but Lindsay is holding out for all of you. But it'd also be like how Ventura is known for surfing. Thyatira is known for this high-end purple cloth, and it was super expensive, the process used to make it, and so it was really only sold to people of wealth. And so that's really a status symbol. And as one commentator said, so Lydia is a beautiful person selling beautiful clothes to beautiful people, and she's very well off. And today she would be like a business person who has a high-end clothing boutique in San Francisco and one in New York and flies back and forth and occasionally goes to Paris for a fashion show. I imagine her, if she were around today, she would be a social media influencer as well. She's connected. She's got personality. But she's not just a savvy business person. She's also, the Bible says, a worshiper of God. So apparently, success was not enough for her. She's searching. As so many people do who all of a sudden discover that achieving success in some aspect of life doesn't answer everything in life. And the Bible tells us that she's basically what we would have called at the time a God-fearer. And a God-fearer was someone who had left their polytheism and their paganism and were seeking truth through the Old Testament scriptures. And so put it all together, she's a cosmopolitan world traveler. She's a savvy entrepreneur. She's a spiritually seeking person, really of high integrity. And in many ways, Lydia altogether is an admirable person who's searching for something greater than success. And yet there's this big hole in her heart. There's an emptiness, and she thinks God might be able to fill it. She just doesn't know how. And so she's searching. I had a conversation with a man who was much like this. He was into his retirement years, super successful in his career, made a lot of money doing what he had made, and he was into, you know, the dream years of his retirement, so to speak, and it wasn't really turning out as he had expected. He was facing some pretty serious health issues. He later divorced with his wife during his retirement years, and really wasn't even on speaking terms with many of his children. And in many ways, he was doing what Lydia was doing. He was, came to me asking questions about God, the same God that he had dismissed so many times earlier in his life during his career, you know, just kind of with his analytical mind. But he was asking the right questions about God. He just hadn't quite asked Jesus into his life as the answer yet. He was a modern-day God-fearer. And we learn for these women, it's the Sabbath day, and everybody's worshiping. And so they decide, they don't go to the synagogue, they go to the river's bed. And they're having a Bible study down there, reading the Old Testament, and they are praying together. And really, this is what we could consider to be the first New Testament woman's Bible study. It's kind of cool. This is like WOW in its infancy, all you WOW people out there. It stands for Women of the Word. We have this amazing women's Bible study that starts up again in the fall. But these women, this is what I want you to see. They're not part of a church. They don't know anything about Jesus. They're searching. And what's so interesting is because in their search for more, people like Lydia were searching the Old Testament scriptures, and they ended up finding another empty burden, the burden of the law of God separated from the grace of Messiah. And it was crushing them because you can never fully obey the law of God apart from the grace of Jesus Christ. In fact, there's nothing more crushing than the law separated by from the grace of Jesus. In fact, we don't really understand the law of the Old Testament until you realize it's inseparable from the grace of Messiah. And so many people are like this today. They're going back and forth in their life between the emptiness of just living for ourselves and seeking after success, and then the burden of trying to be spiritual on our own or being religious and yet never really matching up. And neither approach actually ultimately fulfills us or gives us what we were created for, which is a living friendship with the God of heaven through Jesus Christ. And so think about this. Lydia is basically in the fashion industry. So that means she has to drive day in and day out, because if you are not delivering in the fashion industry, you are yesterday's news. You are yesterday's fashion. Of course, it is the fashion industry, so of course, if you wait long enough, it will come back around again. Have you noticed this? It is so true. I have, true story, a pair of Crocs that I bought in college, and I've been backpacking in them probably for over 25 or 30 years. And they came back in style again like 2 years ago. It was the coolest thing in the world. And they haven't changed at all. And so it just goes to show you can be as out of style as I am and still be in fashion every once in a while, all right? But the Bible says that Paul, Silas, and Luke, and Timothy sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. And so Paul's not giving a big message. This isn't a sermon. This is a give and take discussion. This is a Bible study down by the river. And through that, she meets Jesus Christ as her Savior. And I love that. And what Paul is doing in this moment is he's doing what every missionary and evangelist does when they go into a new area to reach people for Christ, is he's looking for what military operations call a bridgehead. A bridgehead for the gospel. A bridgehead is where you put some forces, a small amount of your forces, behind enemy lines to create this small defensible foothold that then you can slowly add to over time. And this little place of prayer in Philippi becomes exactly that for the Apostle Paul. It becomes a bridgehead for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we're going to see, after reaching Lydia, Lydia's going to go on to reach a whole bunch of other people for the Lord. And that's basically how God does it. You see, God will reach someone for Christ, and they'll start coming to church and sitting over here. And then that person will start praying for one of their friends, invite them to church, and they'll be sitting over here. And when that person walks in the church, this person over here is like praising God. because they've been praying for them for a long time. And then that person over there talks to their friend, introduces them to Jesus, and then they start coming to church and sitting over here. And then when that person comes into the church, this person over here is praising God as well. And then this person who just came to Christ starts serving in the children's ministry or the youth ministry. And then every time they see students come to church or they see children growing in their faith, they're praising God. And it is like a praise God chain reaction. And that is what is going to be happening through the life of Lydia. And maybe this morning God is wanting to use your life as an epicenter for the movement of his spirit right where he has you right now, among your friends, among your family, among your neighborhood, your hobby people. But God has placed you as a bridgehead, but maybe you've just never really thought of it that way. It's why, as a church family, we're asking you to memorize Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It's basically the theme of the book of Acts and a theme that God wants reflected in all of us. And if you're a guest with us today, you can start joining and learning it with us. It goes like this. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you, Encounter family, will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you, Encounter family, will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the very end of the earth." And as a church, one of the ways that we are so privileged to get to be able to do that, as we get to be a part of ministry all around the world in many different ways, but one of the ways is through our 18 different global partner families that God has sprinkled both here in the region, around the nation, and around the world. And one of the privileges we have is actually we have two of them with us this Sunday, Sydney and Ivana, and they're right over here somewhere. You guys stand where you are right over here. Let's give them a hand. So thankful for you. Thank you. Now, for full disclosure, I have to tell you, Sydney and Ivana are not their real names. They're actually their cover names. They serve in a country in North Africa that is predominantly Muslim, and for their own protection, we can't publicly say their names. They are predominantly Spanish speakers who are also learning French and Arabic to better reach the people that they're serving with in North Africa. So yeah, we can praise God for that. Praise the Lord. Amen. They actually do community-based ministry, helping people in their community just to foster friendships where they get to have Christ-centered conversations. And we wanted you to hear a little bit about what God's doing in their lives and in North Africa. So why don't you watch this video? Before we start it, if you're watching on the live stream today, we actually aren't showing the video, so their faces aren't put out there all over the internet. And you'll have to read along because we're translating for you. Take a look. Sydney and Ivana, we're so thankful to be partnered in the gospel with you. They're going to be on the patio right after this service, and I just want to encourage all of us to just give them a warm encounter greeting. We're going to have translators out there, so you can ask them questions, and let's just mob them with some encounter love after the service. We don't get to have them here very often, so what a privilege. And part of the cool part of the story that God is writing is that they are actually from Honduras, from a sister church of ours that we partner with through short-term mission trips. And so basically you have two countries reaching another country with four different languages involved, and that's part of the beauty of being a part of the family of God. Amen? It's so cool how God does it. Now look at verse 14. "The Lord opened her heart," Lydia's heart, "to pay attention to what was said by Paul." And this word "to pay attention to" literally sometimes is translated "to be addicted to." In fact, there's another place in the Bible where someone's addicted to wine using the same phrase. And so essentially what's happening is that Lydia doesn't just believe in the truth of Jesus Christ. She sees Jesus and his good news as beautiful, as wonderful, as amazing. And this is that part of who Jesus is that moves past our mind, and God actually draws us to his very heart and to his goodness and to his love. And when the Bible says the Lord opened her heart, it's exactly what Jesus was talking about when he said in John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." And so Paul and his companions share the message, but God is the ultimate evangelist. I'm going to say that again. They're the ones sharing the message in this moment, but God is the one who draws hearts. And do you know what that means, Encounter family? That when you are sharing Christ with someone, you have someone on your side in that moment. When you are encouraging someone in the Lord, or when you're being the hands and feet of Jesus in our community and in our world, Jesus is the one who is the ultimate evangelist in those moments. And a part of the beauty of the gospel is it is absolutely true. We are more broken and more sinful than we'd ever dare believe before a holy God. It is utterly true. And yet the good news is we're also more loved and more accepted than we could ever dare hope because of the free gift of God's grace that we receive when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and invite him into our life, and he becomes beautiful to us. And Lydia, whose business was beauty, hears about who Jesus is as her Savior, and she realizes that he is everything that she has been looking for in life. So she didn't just believe the good news. She's not even just convinced by the good news. She finds the good news to be beautiful. She's a beautiful person selling beautiful clothes to beautiful people, but she had never seen a beauty like Jesus Christ and his love before. And she gives her life to the Lord. And not only that, next she gets baptized to show other people what God has done in her life through Christ. And you begin to see all this fruit. We begin to read about it in verse 15. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us. So that's Luke, Silas, Timothy, and Paul, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. So Lydia is so enthralled about who Christ is and what he's doing in her life that now she wants to use her home, which is probably her place of business as well, as really a living ministry center. And this is how God does it. We give our life to him, and then he starts opening the rest of our life up as well. You know, having us be wide open to use all the pieces of our life. And at the end of verse 15, it says, "And she prevailed upon us to stay at her home." So there was some debate where they were going to stay that night. Lydia wants them there. Then Paul's like, "No, we're going somewhere else." And that word, "she prevailed upon us," it means that she won the debate. She wins. And I love this because think about it. Paul is an apostle and he's going to go ahead and write scripture. Lydia is a brand new follower of Jesus. Paul is a male in ancient, you know, culture. She is a female and she wins. I love that. And all the women in the room are like, "John, was there any question? Who's going to win that debate?" And she opens her heart to the Lord and then her home and the rest of her life wide open to him. And the rest is history. The church in Philippi is started and begins to meet in her home. Bible scholar F.F. Bruce makes this really interesting conjecture about Lydia inviting Luke, Paul, Silas, and Timothy into her home. Because what F.F. Bruce, this Bible scholar, notices is that a little bit after this passage in the book of Luke, who's writing this, stops saying "we" and all of a sudden says "they." And F.F. Bruce wonders, like, did Luke stay behind in Philippi and Paul and Silas and Timothy go on? And then he wonders even further, is it possible that maybe Luke married Lydia and they became the nucleus of this really, you know, just influential, wonderful church in Philippi that goes on to be used to support Paul in all kinds of ministry and just with these really significant gifts? We don't know. It's an interesting thought. But later, when Paul is writing the book of Philippians, he mentions his true companion and doesn't name him back in Philippi. And F.F. Bruce wonders, maybe that's Luke, who's the author of the Gospel of Luke. And, you know, he's married to Lydia now. We don't know. It's like disciple gossip. It's kind of cool, you know. It's even kind of biblical. We get to do it in church. It's kind of fun. But let me give us a Lydia-sized challenge right now. If we have all opened up our hearts to Jesus as Savior, is the rest of your life wide open to Him as well? Are you open to Him as being a living ministry center, a bridgehead for the Spirit's activity in the spaces that God has placed you in this world? Are you wide open to Him today? Because He's beautiful and He's wonderful, and following Him is amazing. And sometimes being wide open to the Lord just simply means we begin to do what He's already doing, but you just didn't see it before. We jump in along with what the Spirit's already got going on. We had this happen once as a family. We were living in Northern California, and there's this place in Lake Tahoe that we go to in the summers. It's owned by some kind of distant family members. And we were staying there in the summer, but we had this free weekend long before that, and we decided to do a quick trip maybe up there for the weekend. And so we texted Uncle Bob, who is one of the owners of this place, and, "Hey, Uncle Bob, is the place free? We were thinking maybe we could go up for the weekend." He's like, "Yeah, nobody's up there." So we just threw everything in the car last minute, drove up to Lake Tahoe, the whole family. We got there later in the evening, but we hadn't had dinner, so we just threw everything in the house, everything everywhere, all over the kitchen, all over the house. Went out to eat dinner, came back, and when we came back, Aunt Jerry and Uncle Eddie were in the driveway, the other owners of the house. And apparently Uncle Bob didn't ask Aunt Jerry and Uncle Eddie about whether they were spontaneously coming in for the weekend. We had like all our stuff in their bedroom and stuff all over the kitchen, you know, it's just kind of crazy. And we had a really good laugh about it, but I'll tell you what else we had that weekend. Some unexpected God conversations that I remember to this day. For me, a really significant one with Uncle Eddie about Jesus that I will never forget. And so many times in life, our double bookings are things that God is already working, and we just have to be wide open to what the Spirit is already doing. And next we meet, after meeting Lydia in Acts 16, we meet this girl who is a slave. She's the second person who comes to Christ in Philippi, verse 16, "And as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling." And we learn a lot about this young girl who is a slave, just as we learned a lot about Lydia. One of the first things we learn is she's a young female slave. The word that's being used to describe her means that she's somewhere between 10 and 14. That means that she is a child who's being exploited by adults. We also know that she has a spirit of divination. And the literal translation of those words literally means the spirit of the python, which means nothing to us as modern English readers, but it meant everything to the Greek readers of the time, because the spirit of the python was this Greek legend about this fortune teller, this seer who has this epic battle and defeats this snake-like dragon. And the spirit of the python becomes this expression of anyone who can fortune tell, anybody who is a seer. And they would speak wildly and cry out and use different voices at times. And they were troubled and tormented on the inside. But this is the thing. She may have been troubled and she may have been wild on some level, but apparently some of her fortune telling was coming true, or she wouldn't have been making money for her owners, or at least it appeared to be coming true. And her owners may not have known or even cared about the dark forces that were behind her gifts, but what they really cared about was the money they were using her for. And yet look at how God saves her, how God uses Paul, verse 17. "She followed Paul and us, crying out, 'These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to you the way of salvation.' And this she kept doing for many days." So imagine this. Everywhere they go, she's following them, shrieking and yelling exactly that. But look at what she's yelling. "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to you the way of salvation." This is really cool. Think about it. No one in Philippi knows what Christianity is. No one. No one in Philippi knows what a missionary is. No one in Philippi knows what these men had come to share about, but she does. She knew. She knew. And she's proclaiming that they came to show everyone the way of salvation. And it reminds us of the book of James in chapter 2, verse 19. It says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. And the point that James is making is that demons know more about you and I, more about God than you and I do, and they tremble. In fact, demonic forces have incredibly accurate theology about God. The only thing is they hate what they know to be true about God. And it's the same for this young girl. And whenever I read her event, her story in Scripture, it always reminds me of a good friend in college and her testimony. And her testimony is powerful and heartbreaking all at the same time. She told us how as a young baby and a young girl, first she had been removed from her parents' home because of all kinds of chaos and trauma. Then she ended up being taken in and given custody to another family member who, as a baby and as a young child, trafficked her to be used for really dark occultic practices at a really young age, multiple times. Later, she'd be removed from that home and placed in the foster system. And as time would pass, ultimately, she ended up being adopted by this amazing Christian couple who just loved Jesus. And they welcomed her into their home. And they, over time, began to love her. And she came to know Jesus Christ. She began to have healing over a long period of time. And as she became a young adult, she began to have ministry in the lives of other women who had been trafficked and introducing them to the freedom and hope of Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know if you saw it. We're watching the video about Ivana and Sydney and what God is doing in North Africa. They were talking about that woman. They were sharing with me earlier how that same woman has been having dreams about a Savior. A woman in North Africa and the freedom that she can have in them. God is the ultimate evangelist that we get to be a part of. And note that this girl who is a slave is not simply a slave to evil. She is a slave on the inside to her inner demons, and she's a slave on the outside to her owners, and it breaks our hearts. And so if Lydia is a woman, a business person who owns a high-end boutique in San Francisco, then in many ways this young girl would be a drug-addicted prostitute who's being trafficked by her pimps in the inner city as a very young child. And yet look at how God draws her, verse 18. And this she kept doing for many days. So she's running around, shrieking and yelling, telling everybody that they're servants of the Most High God. And Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. Paul finally gets so annoyed, he casts out this evil presence in her life. And this is one of those places in the Bible where you know the Bible's not a made-up story, because if you were wanting to make Paul look better than he really was, you wouldn't have written it like that. You wouldn't. You would have said something like, Paul, this amazing man of God, full of compassion and grace and the power of God, cast out this evil, dark demon out of this poor young lass, or something like that. You wouldn't say he got so annoyed that he cast out this evil spirit. And this girl who is not named embraces the light and the freedom of Jesus Christ. And now, instead of being in the bondage of sin, we're in the marketplace of the world. Everything can be sold. Everything has a price, even people. Now she's invited into an eternal relationship where she's not bought and sold, but she's cherished and loved forever by her Savior, who paid the ultimate price to bring her home to Him. And all of a sudden, it causes me to step back and go, wow, those are two powerful examples of how Jesus draws us to Christ. And to think about my own story, and for you to think about your own story and that God is writing for you. Because think about the differences between these two people. Lydia basically gets a Bible study. Let's talk about God down by the river. This young girl gets a power encounter. Lydia needed something very rational. This young girl needed something very powerful. Lydia is a good person, sort of stuck between, you know, emptiness and burden. And she needs to know that she's been forgiven by Jesus Christ and that he is the greatest gift. This young girl needs to know that as well. But more than that, she needs a new Lord. She needs a loving master. She needs someone who would break through her slavery with power and with love. Lydia is an owner. This girl is owned. Lydia is at the center of society. This young girl is in the margins. Lydia is completely pulled together in societal terms. This young girl is wildly out of control. And may we all step back for a moment and realize it really doesn't matter who we are. Jesus is our ultimate need. And he comes to each of them as he comes to each of us and meets their need and wins them with his beauty and his power and his love. And in Acts 16, God is the one who opens hearts, lives, and homes wide open for him. Are we wide open for him today because of who he is? I want to end with an insight from Tim Keller, who's one of my theological modern heroes. He's with the Lord, but we'll always respect him. Do you remember in the Bible how Jesus, on his way to the cross, is dressed in purple? Remember that? How Pilate releases the prisoner Barabbas, and then Jesus is brought back into the temple by the temple guard, and this group of soldiers dress him in purple clothes. Purple clothes. And they put a crown on him, a crown of thorns, and they whip him. And then they send him on to the crucifixion, and they were mocking him for his claim to be king. And there is Jesus, probably in the ugliest state of his time on earth, because he's been beaten and bruised. And this is what we read in Isaiah chapter 52 and 53 describing this. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and this form marred beyond human likeness. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised. And at that moment, he was probably hard to look at. His face was swollen. He'd been beaten, crown of thorns, bleeding all over his face. And yet in that appalling moment, we realize there's nothing more beautiful than a Savior who would give up his beauty to heal us from the ugliness of our sin and to make us whole and overwhelm us with his love. And there is nothing more glorious than a king who would humble himself and leave heaven and come to earth to walk to the cross for us. And Lydia saw both the love and the beauty of Jesus, who wore purple on the way to the cross, the very purple that defined her life. And she gives her life to him as her Savior. And this young slave girl saw the power of Christ, who was exploited for her, who was sold for 30 pieces of silver. And she understood the love of Jesus through the cross, and the power of Christ over evil and over darkness because of the resurrection. And the question I have for all of us today is, have you responded to that same Jesus? Do you know him as your Savior? He is beautiful. He is powerful. He is loving. And he walked to the cross for you to call you home into a relationship with him. And in a moment, I'm going to lead anybody who wants to in a prayer to say yes to him as Savior. If you're ready to give your sin over to him, your brokenness, and receive the gift of life that he wants to give you. And I trust if you are ready to do that this morning that God has been speaking to you all week, because he is the great evangelist. We just get to join into what he's already doing. Or maybe this morning, you've known the Lord a long time, but today he's just whispering, not in judgment, but with joy. Is your life wide open to me? I want to use your life as a living ministry center. I want to use your home. I want to use your family. Are you open wide? I want to use that hobby, your heart for volleyball and your love for your friends. I want you to be a living ministry center. I've placed you there. You're the epicenter of my spirit in the spaces I've put you in. Would you stand with me as we pray? Before I pray, if God's been talking to you and you're ready to embrace Jesus as your Savior, ready to ask for forgiveness based on what he did on the cross, and to receive that as a gift with all of his love and all of his power, I'm going to just lead you in a prayer. Just say something like this to God. It doesn't matter if you get the words just right. You can say it just in your heart to him or out loud. Just say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for going to the cross for me. I ask for forgiveness today. I've got a lot of junk in my life, and I give it to you, asking you to make me new. Thank you that knowing you is all gift. I invite you into my life as my Savior. Begin to lead me. Begin to show me who you are. And if you just prayed that prayer, you joined just this glorious group of people like Lydia and this young unnamed girl and myself and so many others in this room, and we just celebrate with you. Or maybe today, somewhere along the way, you stopped opening up to him. And God's just saying, I want you open wide, and you're ready to say yes again, or maybe for the first time. We're going to begin to sing a song in a moment, and I just want to invite you, if you feel led, to express physically what Jesus is saying to you in your relationship with him, just to come to the front. Maybe you can stand or you can kneel and just commit to the Lord. Hey, Lord, thank you for being beautiful. Thank you for being powerful. Thank you for your love. My life is wide open to you. Or maybe if you said yes to Jesus as Savior, I just encourage you to come up here and just say thank you. And we'll, after the song is over, you can go back to your seats. But come if you feel led. We're going to continue to worship the Lord this morning. Come on up if you want to.